as was mentioned in our announcements earlier, our regular evangelist is away in a meeting. It's good to see everyone here this morning. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we're going to talk this morning about the inner workings of our mind and our thoughts and our heart, and how that relates to the things that, the actions that we take. Let's look at three verses from the Scriptures this morning. I'll be putting the passages on the screen, but there will be three passages that we look at: Galatians 5, Matthew 15, and Matthew 12. Let's first look at and start our conversation this morning from Galatians chapter 5, starting with we'll read verse 16 to 18. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law." This passage is broken into three pieces, and the second one starts in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity," which is also means animosity, "strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, those that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, the abhorrent nature of a good number of these things here get our attention right away. But the works of the flesh that are listed here are more than just the kinds of things that a lot of times we think about: adultery and fornication and lasciviousness and orgies and debauchery. And the, you know, we say works of the flesh, or we say carnal things. Those things come to our mind, as they should. But I'll have you notice here that there are about, we'll talk about them in a little bit, but there's eight or ten things that aren't like that, that we want to talk about today. The kinds of things are strife and jealousy and anger, rivalries and dissensions, divisions, envy, lying and slander. And the thing about those kinds of works of the flesh, they're more subtle. They can be going on inside our heads, and maybe folks not even know it. And it's a struggle that we have inside of us to keep those kinds of things in check. And we probably, you know, if we're thinking about all those other things, orgies and all that, we probably don't put this list of that I was just reading in our minds as works of flesh, but they are. Paul goes on to say, as revealed through the Holy Spirit, in Galatians 5, 22 through 24, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions." So that's the beginning of our discussion about what goes on in our head. That's the beginning of our discussion. There's another passage that we want to look at, where Jesus talks in Matthew chapter 15. He says in verse 16, "Are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes to the stomach and is expelled? But that which comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness or lying, slander. These are the things that defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands doesn't defile anyone. And here, Christ is talking about, he mentions some of those other things that we would call works of the flesh, carnal things, but he lists a couple of others, lying or false witness and slander. And those things are, there we see that, and they're added to that list of these things that go on inside our minds. They do come out sometimes. And they manifest themselves in the things that we say, and maybe some of the actions that we take. But a lot of that is works inside our head. Now, the third passage is a very interesting passage. It's really a condemnation of the Jewish nation and folks that this would apply to. But it's a really interesting, paradoxical, interesting sort of hyperbole that Jesus used, and we'll think about this as we go through our lesson. In Matthew 12:43, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, and this is a parabolistic kind of discussion that he's having here, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I'll return to the house from which I came. And when it comes back, and when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. And it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So it shall be with this evil generation. Now again, in a lot of these things, Jesus is talking about other specific issues, but he brings up some concepts that we want to think about today as we look at this, as we think about these destructive thoughts. The destructive thoughts that we're talking about, I listed them here on the board for us, they get them in our minds: animosity, strife, jealousy, anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, false witness or lying, and slander. And one thing about this, we talk about these in our head, but these are emotional responses that we and reactions that we have to the things that go on around us. And if you think about it, if you felt any one of those things that were listed there, or thought about doing any of the things that were listed, a lot of the times it's in reaction to something that's happened to you. That there's this acutest little commercial, or you've seen it, the little guy has got Oreos or some kind of cookies all around his mouth. And you can tell that he's been eating the cookies, right? And his mom says, "Did you eat the cookies?" And the little fellow with cookies all over his face, what does he do? That's that emotional response, "I didn't do it." He lied, but "I didn't do it." That's an emotional, and it comes quickly to us. Well, we got that, but these other things, these other destructive thoughts, as we think about it this morning, we'll see, when we look at ourselves, we'll see that those kinds of things may happen to us sometimes. And Jesus, in his talking about eating, and he was really addressing another subject when he said, what you eat doesn't defile you, but what comes from your heart defiles you. We get this, that our mind or our heart is the source of good or evil. And the actions that come from that, the action emanating from the thoughts of our heart, either commend us or condemn us. Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, by your fruits you shall know them. So what goes on in our head, if it manifests itself, will either commend us or condemn us. And like that unclean spirit mentioned in Matthew 12, I'd have you know that if we allow destructive thoughts, those thoughts that we looked at, if we let those roost in our minds and stay there and grow, the result will be evil. And we can get them out. If we're aware of it happening, we can push them out. We can say, I shouldn't be thinking like that, but that thought about that evil spirit being out and could come back, we need to replace those, that kind of destructive thinking with good things. Nature doesn't allow a vacuum. You've heard that. That's been said. That's a void is filled, or nature doesn't allow a vacuum. And the same thing happens with our... and it's really another way to say that when we rid ourselves of evil, destructive thoughts, we need to replace those with something else. Of course, with good thoughts. If we don't, the bad thoughts will come back. You know, I thought about how can we... What would be the answer for that? So we see things and these thoughts come up in our minds. So what's the answer? And we talked a little bit about that even this morning in our Bible class. And I'd have you think about this morning, that it's compassion and love. And if we think compassion and love, it's sort of like, okay, there you go. So you bring this problem to us. I got all these things going on in my head. They're destructive thoughts, and I can just take care of it with compassion and love. Let's talk a little bit about that. Jesus, and let's see what the Bible says about this. Jesus gives a touching insight to this idea of compassion for the Jews, or Jerusalem, as we were thinking this morning in our Bible class. This is in Matthew 23. Jesus looked at Jerusalem, verse 37. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." And if you've been on a farm, I have. If you've had chickens, I have. And if you had the little mother that sat and had a whole bunch of chicks, and they're out there in the chicken yard, and the little chicks are just scratching furiously, doing whatever the mama hen says. And if there's a shadow in the sky or something startles them, she can make a noise, a little clucking noise. She spreads out like this, and those little chicks fly up under her. I got to question this one chick that's sitting on her back. That's probably the kind of chick I would have been. You're supposed to be inside for safety, and this dude's out looking around, getting a good look, jumped up on her back. He's going to have a little bit of extra training from his mama on that. When she clucks, he's supposed to be underneath. But you can see there's others underneath there. One of them's out looking around. Kind of, he's safe, but he's looking. Jesus gave us this idea of compassion, used an absolutely beautiful example of how he felt about, and as we heard this morning, even in our Bible class, it wasn't just the Jews, it wasn't just Jerusalem, it's all of us. He would have us, the compassion comes in, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would bring you to me like a chick. That's like a mom hen with her chicks. Paul adds a working definition. We said compassion and love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, we read this working definition of love. We got the idea in our minds about compassion. And the working definition of love, what a passage. 1 Corinthians 13. "Love is patient and kind. Love does not boast, or does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Loves all things. Love bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things." We want to replace the destructive thoughts with thoughts about others and of compassion and love. Now that sounds simple. And it's really, I will tell you, it's easier said than done. And our thoughts this morning are on this idea of how do we train ourselves to have the right attitude. And I'll tell you, it's something we have to work on. It's not all that easy. These thoughts come to us just instantaneously, and it's having the right attitude is sometimes counterintuitive. And then some people would say, it doesn't come naturally. That's why we read the Scriptures and we apply them to our lives, because what we would naturally do, if there is such a thing as doing something like that naturally, as people say, it doesn't come naturally, our emotions would, and what we initially think would be counterintuitive. And a lot of times that initial thought and the things that, when somebody does something, our reaction to them, just be aware that a lot of times it's the wrong one and our thoughts are the wrong thing. I want to try and demonstrate that to you even today. Now, what I'm going to do is flash two pictures. And I want you just to look at the pictures and just look at the picture and just look at it and think. And there'll be two of them. Okay. Quickly, you had something in your mind. Let's go back to that first picture. What did you think about this when you saw this picture? And there would be a lot of things, but did you think, here's some workers at the end of the day. They've been working hard for their family. They've been probably picking fruit or working in the yard. We see this kind of worker sometimes all around. Well, is that the kind of thing? Did any thoughts like illegal aliens or undocumented workers or they're taking American jobs? So what I'm trying to show you is, if you see something, what do you actually think about? That's, and do you think, well, these people could be folks that need the gospel? That would be a thought. Now, when you saw this, and I use these just as an example to kind of show us what quickly comes to our mind. And what did you think about this guy? And if you saw, and we've all seen these homeless people, panhandling, whatever, we see them all around. What are the thoughts that we have when we see that? What's his story? Is he hungry? Glad it's not me. Or are there other thoughts that come to our mind that I won't even go through with you today because they are those destructive thoughts when we see somebody like that? Now, this doesn't say that we would necessarily do anything about it. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying when we see things and see things comes up, I want to show you how quickly, possibly, the wrong attitude, the wrong thinking, the destructive thinking, which we listed that, we'll come back to it in just a minute, comes up. And that kind of exercise is a little bit uncomfortable for me to say, you know, well, what do you think when you see this? And we could have any kind of picture there. We could show all kinds of pictures to see what we think about it. But the point is that what our initial thoughts might not be the best, and we want to train ourselves to think better, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, here's our list. And again, I want to leave you with some things that we can do. And let's look at what Paul was just, I'll put them back up on the board here, what Paul said in Galatians 5, 22 and 24. So you can see on one side of the screen is sort of the things we need to watch for, the destructive thinking. On the other side of the screen are many things that we can put in our minds and be thinking about. And that could be, it isn't like, oh, I drive down the road and I see this person, guy or gal on there, what am I? It's about what happens to us here as a group when people do things to us. Which one of the lists starts flying through our heads? Is it which side of it? And we can say that we want to train ourselves for love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Those are the kind of things that should be as a specific anecdote to those destructive thoughts. And really, the lesson wasn't intended to be a great exploration of all this, but rather to plant some ideas in your head. And in kind of, in finally, let me just look at a couple of things that we can do to keep our hearts full of the fruits of the Spirit and work to keep the destructive thinking out. We want to push destructive thoughts away. Push them away. Recognize they're there and push them away. Maybe say to ourselves, I shouldn't be thinking like that. We also want to find good in people. When we see something, or when someone does something to us, think of the good that try to think of something good about that person. We were at the going to the market yesterday, and a woman tried to, I would say, run over me and Pam. A lot of thoughts came to my mind that weren't good. Thinking something good about that lady driving that car in Reston wasn't first on my thought. But you know what? We need to calibrate, just because that destructive thinking grows in our minds. We need to recognize it and see that. We might not do anything different. Remember, a lot of this is what goes in our head, on inside of us as we think about things. We don't necessarily do anything, but we want to keep fruits of the Spirit in our brains and in our minds and in our hearts, not these destructive thoughts. So find something good in people. I'm working on that for that lady that tried to run me over yesterday. And really, change the way we think. When we see things, when people do something to us, then my feelings are hurt. I've been wounded. Well, we want to change the way we think. And we'll root out destructive thinking. And do try our best not to prejudge somebody. Maybe that lady was on her way to the hospital yesterday. She was hurrying to help somebody. Try not to prejudge. And when someone does something to us that we don't like, that hurts our feelings, that bothers us, give them the benefit of the doubt. And wrap it all up with have compassion. We want to keep the negative and oftentimes initial emotional thoughts in check and replace them with thoughts of love and compassion. And you know, we are pilgrims here, but yet citizens of heaven. And we want to be led by the Spirit. And we want to live in such a way that we'll inherit the kingdom of God. That's our lesson. Hopefully there's something in that that will help us change the way we think. Change the way we react when others do things to us. Whether it's run us over or not, hopefully not. Or say or do something that hurts our feelings or makes us feel uncomfortable or something like that. We'll look for the good. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll have compassion when we think about them in our lives. And we'll root out destructive thinking and replace it with fruits of the Spirit. There may be somebody here this morning. We're going to have an invitation song. There may be somebody here this morning that says, I want to be Christ. I want to be a child of God. And all the goodness that anybody can do, you could have all the best thoughts in the world, but if you aren't Christ, if you haven't given your life and yourself to Christ, then all those good thoughts are good things, but they don't get you to heaven. You're not a citizen of the kingdom of heaven without responding to the gospel. We have an invitation song. There may be other, you may have other needs, and come forward at this time as we stand and sing.